Grace, mercy, and peace be yours in abundance from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. As I mentioned a few moments ago, the focus of the message is on Hebrews chapter 13. Just like to focus in on chapter 8 one more time. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. Some psychologists call them flashbulb memories. You know what I'm talking about, where there's just something that happens, something, maybe it's tragic or something momentous, something where in your history, it's one of those moments where it's like, boom, the flashbulbs go off and you remember exactly where you were and what you were doing when that happened. And I don't think that there are too many people here today whose flashbulb memory was Pearl Harbor, but for most of us growing up, that was that generation's flashbulb moments. Some of you, for you, it might be when President Kennedy was assassinated, or 50 years ago this year with the landing on the moon, and you remember hearing the news and seeing the footage. But I think along with you, most of us who are here today, the biggest flashbulb moment was something that just a few days ago was the anniversary, 9/11. You remember where you were when you first heard the news and how everything just sort of seemed to change in an instant. I was on my way to pastor's conference in Cottage Grove. We didn't even know anything was really going on. There was some bits and pieces coming over the radio, but it was when we arrived at the church that the TV was on and everybody was gathered around the TV watching as everything unfolded. And as it was clear, became clearer what was happening. We as pastors, we worshiped the Lord even as we sought his healing and to find comfort in tragedy. And then instead of having conference, we all returned to our homes, to our parishes, to be there for people as they needed to seek the Lord's reassurance. And you know what happened throughout the day. It was like every 20 minutes something happened. It was the Pentagon and the first collapse and then the second collapse and then the crash of Flight 93. I mean, as a nation, we were shaken to our foundation. And there was that certain feeling in the air. You know, you could feel it. You could sense it just from people around you. And it didn't really take it, though maybe for some it did, a news person to say, things will never be the same again. And in some ways, that's very true. Here we are 18 years later, and we have seen changes and losses and lasting impact on family after family. For the families of those who died in the collapse of the towers, be it workers or first responders or the like, things will never be the same again. For the soldiers who gave their lives and made the sacrifices in Afghanistan in the aftermath, things will never be the same again. And you could kind of go on and on, couldn't you, with how it just isn't going to change, how it's changing. But is it really true for America as a whole? I mean, we all felt that America would never be the same again, right? But now all these years later, is that really true? Do you remember what it was like in those first couple of days? How everybody said, we are turning to the Lord. I am going to make God important in my life. And for a couple of weeks, that was true. Almost every church saw attendance go up for a few weeks. And then it kind of went back to the way it was before, huh? I mean, as a nation, we kind of put the whole idea of greed aside because money isn't important. Now it's other things are far more important. And we're gonna do everything we can to tighten our belts and get focused and get the right priorities. And we're going to set political differences aside and we're going to be unified as a nation. And this is going to be the new America. How'd all that work out? And it didn't really last either, huh? We just kind of went back to the way we were. Some have estimated that on that day, 15,000 children lost at least one parent. and we said, things are going to be different at home. We're going to be kinder to our spouse, more loving to our children. We're going to make family the priority and not work. We're going to get our lives on track and get it focused where it needs to be. How'd that work out? Even on a personal level, we knew who we wanted to be, but here we are 18 years later. Are we there? I mean, it was just a few days ago, 9/11, the 18th anniversary of that tragic day. I'm pretty sure that there are probably some in this room who at some point went, oh, that was yesterday? Maybe the flags on the overpasses and the light kind of reminded you, but were the top stories that day about how America has so changed for the better since that first 9/11? About all the great priorities, all the great political unity, about all the changes that we're making in our homes, how wonderful America is compared to how it used to be? I think if we're honest, we recognize that for all the promises, in the face of that heartache and hurt and tragedy and challenge, that there were a lot of things we said we want to be and we're going to be, but we aren't. As we look at this section from the book of Hebrews, it starts out with a whole long list of things we're like, yeah, that's how I want to be. That's who I want to be. And God, with his fresh day of grace, that is the person that I want to be. But are you? And as we look back, do we realize that we're just the same? That sinful nature just rears its ugly head, and we give in to temptation, and we do all the things that we said we weren't going to be, and the people that we say we want to be, in fact, the people that God calls us to be, we are not. But you know, maybe that isn't even the worst of it. I actually think the worst of it is when we don't even want to take a look. You know, it's one thing if we're recognizing, okay, I'm not the person that I want to be, God help me. But sometimes we don't even care. That doesn't matter, I'm the same. I'm just like I was. Who cares? I mean, finally, isn't that just kind of good enough? That we're so apathetic that it doesn't matter to us that we aren't the people that we want to be. We aren't the people that God calls us to be, that we aren't the people that we need to be. And we're just kind of okay with that. But you know what? God isn't. God isn't good with the same. God isn't good with good enough, with indifference, with stagnation, with the status quo. God didn't call you out of darkness into his wonderful light in order that you could just sort of slip back into the darkness and just sort of let this thing ride. No, last Sunday, in the verses just preceding our text for today, the transformational change is described in these words. You have come to Mount Zion. This is not darkness. You have come to Mount Zion, the city of the living God, to the heavenly Jerusalem, to tens of thousands of angels in joyful assembly, to the church of the firstborn, whose names are written in heaven, to God, who is the judge of all, to the spirits of righteous people who have been made perfect, to Jesus, the mediator of a new testament, and to the sprinkled blood that speaks a better message than the blood of Abel. You have come to Jesus, the same yesterday and today and forever. Because you see, Jesus turned a tragedy, changed it into triumph. He is the same. And with Jesus, that's a good thing. Jesus is the same yesterday, in the past, when he came to earth for only one reason, to redeem people like you and me, to save people who know who we want to be, who God calls us to be, but fail miserably. He came and suffered that great tragedy, the greatest that the world will ever see, far greater than 9/11 fire, greater than any world war, far greater than worldwide famine, the greatest tragedy, is that God's perfect Son gave his life to die the death that we wouldn't, that we couldn't, to take your place and mine for our sins. That tragedy was changed to triumphant because Christ, even though he died on that cross, was not defeated. Death couldn't hold him. On that third day, he rose from the dead in triumphant victory over not just our sin and death, but hell itself. He changed the world's greatest tragedy into its greatest triumph. Yes, he was handed over to death for your sins and mine, but he was raised to life for our justification, to make us, as the writer to the Hebrews said, righteous people in Christ, made perfect. And not just today, not even just for tomorrow, but forever. This Jesus doesn't change. He doesn't look at you and say, well, you aren't the person you said you were going to be, so too bad, so sad. He knows exactly who you are. He knows me through and through. He knows the sinful nature that lives within me, that old ugly Adam that he wants to have nothing to do with. And even then, in spite of all that, he still loves you. He's the same. You see, it doesn't matter who we are. He is the same yesterday and today and forever. And he comes again and again to assure you that your sin is taken away, that your failures, your selfishness, all of the opposite of all those things that the writer to the Hebrew described in our text for today, the opposite of purity and the opposite of generosity and the opposite of compassion, all of those negative things that we are, he forgives and he washes away and he sees you not as you are by nature, but who he has made you to be in his own precious blood. A blood that's so beyond the blood of Abel that is nothing but death. This is death to life. This is tragedy changed to triumph. And he gives it to you. It is this victory that compels you. His love that moves you to say, Lord, how can I show my thanksgiving to you? And he says, here it is. Be kind, be compassionate, be pure, be loving, be generous, be humble as you serve one another in love, imitating him. This is the change that he's looking for in us. Jesus is the same, but in you and me, his tragedy changed to triumph is what makes the change in us possible, giving us the power to be the people, not just that we want us to be, but far more importantly, the people that God calls us to be, that he needs us to be in this sin-darkened world, people of purity and contentment and respect, people of change. Until this Jesus, who does not change, who is the same yesterday and today, welcomes us to his forever that he has prepared. A place where things will never be the same again, just as he promised. Never again will they hunger. Never again will they thirst. There'll be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. Tragedy changed to triumph, because Jesus is the same yesterday and today and forever. Amen.